When I was growing up, my hometown pastor had a tradition. Every New Year's Eve, he preached the same sermon from the same text. My hometown pastor would preach on the tree that wasn't bearing fruit. Jesus the gardener would speak to the owner God and ask that he give it this year also to bear fruit. If it did, good. If it did not, then let it be thrown into the fire. We have just begun a new year, a new church year. And today our Advent text is about one who has proclaimed that his hearers should bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Namely, John the Baptist. Today God's message to us is the same. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. In all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John the Baptist went into the wilderness to prepare the way for the Messiah. He had to do this because the people were not ready to receive him. John's message from God was that the people were crooked, composed of valleys and hills and mountains that needed to be made level. This is not to say that the people themselves were physically too tall or too short. It is to say that their theology, their beliefs, were out of alignment. So John preached for a repentance, a change of heart. Repentance is literally a change of mind. It means turning away from the sinful ways that we enjoy and living God's ways. It is change. It is hard. But it is good. In John Baptist's day, the people needed to be changed in their thinking, in their faith. The teaching of that day encouraged good works and lineage from Abraham to be saved, not trusting in Yahweh and the Messiah that he would be sending. Today, what do so-called pastors on the television and radio and things teach? Do they not also teach works righteousness? Do they not also teach that you're safe when you sin? Living together, homosexuality, abortion. How many things do some quote-unquote pastors teach are okay when they are forbidden in the scriptures? But those are all big things. You don't do the really big things. Yet should you be comfortable in your sins? The first thesis that Luther posted in 1517 was that the life of a Christian should be one of repentance. The whole life, not just a part of it. So do you repent of your sin or do you keep on doing it? Repent. Now is the time. We do not know when Jesus will return, and then it will be too late. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The crowds came from all around to see John the Baptist, as I mentioned to the children a few moments ago, because they had heard about his preaching and his baptism of repentance. When he saw the crowd, he called them a brood of vipers. He called them children of snakes. Why would he do that? Because they were of their father, the devil. They had not yet come to the truth of God's word. And we're living in the lies of the father of lies, Satan himself. So he asked who had warned them to flee. And then he himself warned the crowd that the axe was ready to be used. And the crowds ask him, what then shall we do? And John, somewhat like Peter, said to be baptized and to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. John told them ways that they could do to be repentant, and he baptized them. But John's response was before Jesus' crucifixion. It was before God's salvation was made known. So just as one was coming after John, who would be greater than John, namely Jesus, so John's baptism would be followed by a greater one with the Holy Spirit, to which Peter would direct the people at Pentecost. John told them that the one following him was greater than him, because the people had begun to wonder if John were the Christ they were to expect. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. John was the last prophet. Here at the end of our text, he is put to the side to make way for something greater, the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Messiah in Jesus Christ. The law and the prophets, the entire Old Testament, bear witness to the Messiah to come. That is, to Jesus. The practices of the Old Testament were thus set aside as well to make way for something greater, the church that Jesus would establish. The introduction of Herod at the beginning of this chapter and his return here bear witness that these are true historical events. The prophets, including John the Baptist, were real human beings like you or I. So too is the need to repent. It is just as true as those historical events. Both John and Peter spoke to their hearers saying to repent and be baptized. Today, pastors continue to preach the same. Repent and be baptized. Live lives of repentance, for the whole of a Christian's life is to be one of repentance. Why? Because Jesus is coming. His word concerning the past is true, so why would his word about the future be false? Jesus already knows that you have sinned. Repent of it. Confess it and turn from it. Then know that it has already been paid for. Jesus came as the prophesied Messiah, and he died on the cross to give you forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.